Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Amen. I told Brother Robertson while they were singing, people were running the aisles, I said, well, I'm starting to wonder if I've got the right message. Amen. But I've prayed the majority of the day, and I do feel to preach this. I felt this for a number of weeks, as a matter of fact. And so by the help of the Holy Ghost, we'll just see what God does in this house. How about that? Amen. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Everybody say desired. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. It's still faith. Amen. Amen. Maybe I'm preaching the sequel to Pastor's message. It's still faith. Amen. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Amen. I want to preach by the help of the Holy Ghost for the next few moments. Satan's insatiable desire. Amen. Satan's insatiable desire. Why don't you lift your hands all over the house? Let's pray that the Holy Ghost will help us in the next few moments. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for every soul that's gathered into this house, Lord. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, anoint me to preach your anointed word one more time, God, that you would put the words in my mouth. Speak to this great people, God. Change things tonight in our spirits and in our minds. Oh, God, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll bear with me for a few moments as we work through some chronology in the scripture. Amen. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard this scripture read, quoted, preached about, whatever it may be. It's a very familiar passage. I've preached it myself in this congregation. Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You've probably heard the explanations of what it looks like to sift wheat. Amen. It is a rocking, a boisterous circumstance if you're the wheat. Amen. Sifting wheat is not a comfortable thing. It's tough and it's brutal on the corn of wheat. Amen. And so when Jesus tells Simon, Satan has desired to have you, it wasn't all I want for Christmas is you, amen. He wanted him that he could have his way with him. And the Bible still says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, amen. And so these plans that Satan has for Simon and this desire that Satan has for Simon is so that he can take him, probably much like he took everything that Job had, amen, and then he plagued him with boils and just ruined his life for a little while. That was the kind of desire that Satan had for Simon, amen. And so you've heard this, but I want to try by the help of the Holy Ghost to put some context in it. Can we do that tonight? Amen. Let's start in Matthew chapter 26. If y'all can find it, that's great. If not, I'll just read. Now that when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. So this is Jesus on the Passover night that he will be betrayed. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? So every disciple is asking the same question when Jesus says, I'm going to be betrayed. One of you are going to betray me tonight. And so they all begin to search their own hearts. Really, Lord, is it I? They're asking God, is it me? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Amen. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He saith unto him, Thou hast said. Now, before we go any further, Jesus has just confirmed that Judas is in fact the disciple that will betray him on this night. But apparently, from what I find in the scripture, we're going to go through some of this, nobody else heard this exchange. Only Judas and Jesus were involved in this exchange, for still, they question who it was. Amen. And so, obviously, there's this exchange, and even as we go further, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Jesus dips the sop, and he gives it to Judas. So, at the table, obviously, Judas was close enough to be within arm's reach of Jesus. He can dip the sop and give it. It's very likely that Judas was sitting right next to Jesus. And so it was probably a lean into his ear, and Master, is it I? Knowing what he's going to do anyway. And Jesus said, yeah, you said it. Amen. And so, but none of the other disciples hear this. And so it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then the Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So that's Matthew's account of the Last Supper. Now, between verses 29 and 30, where it says, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, and when they had sung a hymn, somewhere in that gap between the scriptures, Judas has left. Okay? Judas is gone. Let's go to the book of Mark. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man, he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them, said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament. They all drank of it. Everybody say, they all drank of it. Amen. Judas is still there. They all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Somewhere between Mark chapter 14, verse 25 and 26, Judas has left. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, that's Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. This is Luke chapter 22, verse 3. This is before there's ever a deal made to betray Jesus to the high priest, the Pharisees. Satan enters into Judas, being of the number of the 12. This is the first time in the scripture I can find where Satan possesses Judas Iscariot fully and completely. Amen. Satan entered into Judas. Amen. Being of the number of 12. And he, Judas, went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Okay, so obviously, now let's talk about Judas for just a little while. And we'll just kind of follow this train of thought here. Judas is obviously an open door to satanic activity. Satan can come and go as he pleases with Judas. He enters into Judas, this spirit. Now, if you don't believe in demonic possession or satanic possession, here's your scripture right here. Amen. It says that Satan, not just one of the fallen angels, but Satan himself enters into Judas, and Judas being acted upon by this foul spirit that's within him, he goes and he covenants with the enemy, the enemies of the Lamb of God, and he covenants to betray Jesus unto them. Now, I just want to stop right here and say, you better be careful what you allow into your spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost coming on right now. Amen. You better be so careful what you allow to get into your spirit. Amen. Now, you can look at this and say, well, Satan entered in and all he did was have a conversation. Yes, he did. When Satan entered in, it changed who he was talking to, who he was talking about, and what he was planning to do. Amen. Judas probably had problems just like every one of us, but he never went this far until Satan entered into him. Amen. And so under this influence of Satan, Judas goes and he makes a covenant to betray the Lamb of God. And Luke would record, and when the hour was come, he sat down, that's Jesus, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Judas is still here in this account. Jesus said, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they, all 12, began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Now, I didn't put the rest of the account in Luke, but I'll tell you, between verse 23 and 24, Judas leaves in Luke's account. Amen. Now, let's go to John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended. Okay, so John jumps straight to the end of supper. And he makes a statement. He says, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So already, and I'm gonna get further into this in the book of John, but already we see the scripture shaping up that Satan is not possessing Judas at the Passover. He has possessed him before, but he is not possessing him right at this moment. And so I want to go through something very important. Judas is an open door for Satan to come and go and do his bidding. Amen. And I told you to be careful about what you allow into your spirit. Amen. Now, you could look at the record in Luke and say, well, Satan entered in and all Judas did was had a conversation. He just talked a little bit. And then obviously somewhere after that conversation, before the Passover began, Satan has left. And so maybe, God, I don't even know who I'm preaching to right now. Amen. Maybe it is that spirit can come and go and you feel like it's harmless and, well, it was just a conversation or you know, it was just a moment and that thing's not here anymore. But John would say Satan, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. That is Jesus. You will find that Satan left after he possessed Judas the first time. But when he left the vessel, he also left a seed within the vessel. Amen. You have to be so careful what you allow into your spirit, because maybe it's a fit of rage that you go into and then it passes, but you don't know what that filthy thing left in your spirit when it left. Amen. I'll just go ahead and tell you, at this moment, Satan does not possess Judas, but the seed that serpent planted in his heart is still alive and well and growing. You have to be careful what you allow into your spirit. Amen. Amen. The scripture goes on in John chapter 13. Verse 3, to where Jesus girds himself and he washes their feet. Amen. And then following the foot washing, he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Jesus has washed the feet of this man. He has given this man the Passover supper. And he says, I'm troubled right now because one of you are going to betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We know this to be John from the end of this book. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, John, that he should ask who it was of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And verse 27 of John chapter 13 says, and after the sop, everybody say after the sop. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Obviously, between the first time Satan entered into him and this time Satan entered into him, Satan went about to do some more business, but he left a seed within the spirit of the man. And after the sop, Satan enters in again, and Jesus says to him, that thou doest, do quickly. Amen. And he leaves that night. The Bible says he went immediately out, and it was night. What a tragic story of a man that walked with God for 3 years. He had preached. He had healed the lame. He had opened blinded eyes. He was sent out when the 70 were sent out. He had cast out devils. He survived the church split when Jesus preached a hard message. And yet something got into his spirit. And what got into his spirit ended up destroying him. And he betrayed his Lord and Savior. Amen. And so we have Judas fully and thoroughly possessed of the devil. Fully and thoroughly possessed of the devil and doing the bidding of Satan. Amen. And then Jesus does some teaching. Now, I need you to understand this. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, this is right after there's been a dispute about who's going to be the greatest after Judas left. They all got into a fight. Amen. Arguing over who was going to be the top dog. They do all these things. But from what I can find in the chronology of these four accounts from the Gospels is that following Judas leaving, there's a little bit of a squabble over positioning amongst the disciples, the apostles. And then Jesus does some teaching about what's going to happen. They sing a hymn and they start to walk out of the upper room toward the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane being the final destination. If you read John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's almost completely red letter in your Bible. And those four chapters are spoken by Jesus on the walk from the upper room to the brook Kidron. Okay, if you read those chapters, it takes you probably about 20 minutes. Okay, now think about this. Jesus is talking to his disciples as he's walking. I don't know how long the walk was, but obviously it's in the same night. And the Lord said, somewhere on the walk, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The scripture is familiar to every one of us. But what has been really working my mind over for the past few weeks is that the Bible just told us that Satan has possessed Judas. Judas is, he's like a puppet on a string. Satan has fully possessed him and is using this vessel to do his bidding. Judas has fallen from grace, you could say, and Judas is backslid, and he's doing the bidding of the devil. And yet, while Satan has full control of Judas, Jesus looks at Simon Peter, who still stands with him, and says, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you." Oh, God, help me right now. Amen. What are you trying to say, Brother Moats? What I'm trying to tell you is it don't matter how much destruction Satan does among the fallen or the falling, his desire is insatiable. Oh, God, I got to preach this right now. Help me to communicate this to this church. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you. I want you to understand before we leave tonight that you're on a hit list. Amen. You're on hell's hit list. If somebody messaged you on Facebook today and said they were going to kill you, you'd be watching your back and carrying a gun and acting all kinds of nervous. You need to understand you're on hell's hit list. And so you need to start behaving. Amen. You need to start walking. You need to start living as if you understand there's crosshairs on my chest. Amen. There's somebody that's coming after me. I'm not preaching fear to you. I'm going to get to the end of this message, and we're still more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. But you need to get it in your mind. It don't matter who Satan has thrown off course. It don't matter who he's dragged out the door. He's still going for the last man standing. Satan's insatiable desire. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands." Amen. They're too busy partying. They're too busy working. They're too busy drinking. They're too busy doing everything that this world has to offer. And they don't do the work of the Lord. They don't consider what God is doing in the land. He said, "Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Amen. The prophet said, Hell is literally spreading its mouth and it's opening up its throat. Another version would say it has enhanced its appetite. Amen. Satan is never full. Hell is never full. It always wants one more. Hallelujah. I'm here to help somebody tonight. Amen. You need to understand that. It don't matter how many people backslide around you. Satan's still not satisfied. Hell is still not satisfied. You better start acting like you got somebody after you and say, I will make it all the way. I will not let it. Amen. The writer in Proverbs would say hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction are never full. This is not about capacity. This is about appetite. It's not saying they don't have enough room for anybody else to descend into the pit. It's saying every time they consume one, they want to consume another. Hallelujah. Then he says something very profound. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Amen. The same appetite, the same destructive appetite that hell and destruction have, the eyes of man have. I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. You better be careful what you're looking at online. You better be careful where you're allowing yourself to go. You better be careful what you're allowing your eyes to eat, because the eye is never satisfied. It's like hell. It's like destruction. The writer of Proverbs would say the horse leech or the leech has two daughters crying, give, give, amen. Now, I'm going to put that in basic English for you, because it's kind of confusing in the old English. What he's saying is the leech has a sucker on each end, amen. It's consumption no matter which way you turn it, and it's crying. Its offspring is give, give, amen. It's never satisfied, amen. The parasite is never satisfied. The drain, the thing that's sucking the life out of you, it's never satisfied. The old adage says, don't give the devil an inch because he'll take a mile. Amen. I just feel like there's people right now, you're asleep at the wheel and Satan is having his way with you. And God sent me to wake you up tonight and say, you better quit giving in. You better quit giving in. You better quit giving in. Amen. God help us. The scripture says, when a man thinks he stands, beware, let him take heed, lest he fall. Amen. You better not get so comfortable that you think you're invincible. You better keep on praying. You better keep on fasting. You better... Hallelujah. Amen. I'll go a little bit further right now. The same lines and boundaries you drew to get yourself delivered and to get saved, you better just go ahead and leave them intact once you think you're so far away that you can't fall. Because Satan has an insatiable desire. Amen. Amen. The leech cries, give! Give, it just wants to consume, suck the life out of you. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not it is enough. There are four things that never say it's enough. The grave, amen. Death never gets enough. Amen. The barren womb. Barrenness is never satisfied. Amen. God help us right now. The earth that is not filled with water, dry places never get enough. And the fire that saith not, it is enough. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. Death don't get enough. Barrenness don't get enough. Dry places don't get enough. And I'm just reminded when Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Amen. You gotta understand tonight that hell is never satisfied. Amen. And so Jesus, after the Passover, he would admonish Simon Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I know right now he possesses Judas. And I know that Judas is out there getting a hold of a band of people to come betray me. And he thinks he's won. But I'll just tell you, Simon Peter, even though the devil got him and he's backslid, don't think that you're safe, because really what the devil wants is you. Amen. Amen. God help me tonight on a Wednesday night to preach this to the church. Amen. Oh, Jesus. God, I love you and I praise you. I thank you. Help us right now, Lord. I want you to get this, church. I'm telling you, I've got a burden in my spirit right now. Amen. I don't fully understand all that I'm preaching to. I'll be honest with you. I don't feel like I see exactly why I'm preaching this, but I know what I feel in my spirit, and if I can put the pieces together like I think, I just feel like there's somebody that's getting a little comfortable, and you need to remember that Satan's gunning for you. Amen. And I'm trying to pull you out of the fire right now. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to wake you up. You have the strength to make it all the way. You have the strength to live for God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But you better wake up, honey. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And so Jesus would tell Simon Peter, he said, Satan's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. Amen. He tells him, he said, before the night's over, all of you are going to betray me. And Simon says, I'm not going to. Absolute blindness to the comfort level. God is telling him, hey, you better wake up, son. You're about to run. You're about to run. He betrayed me, but you're about to forsake me. Amen. And really, which one's worse? I don't know. Simon Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to die for you. He said, yeah, we'll see. By the end of this night, you'll deny me 3 times. But I prayed for you. And we know the story. Peter goes out. They take Jesus. He does exactly what Jesus said he would do. He denies him 3 times. And the third time as he denies him, the rooster begins to crow. Jesus looks upon him from the judgment hall. Simon Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. He realizes, oh, God, help me. He realizes I was so much closer to falling than I thought. Oh, God, help me. Church, I just feel it in the Holy Ghost. You better wake up. You're so much closer to falling than you think. I understand that God is merciful and there's restoration. And if any church, I believe, if any church really epitomizes the ministry of reconciliation, it's this body of people right here. Amen. The Motley Crue. David's distressed men, amen. If anybody can say, well, we shouldn't be here, but God made a way for us to be here, here we are, and I'm thankful for it, and I understand there's mercy, and I understand there's restoration, and I understand there's reconciliation, but you better be careful, because Judas never made it back. Maybe you will end up like Peter, and you come back and you still preach Pentecost, but maybe you don't end up like Peter and you end up on the end of a rope hanging over a field. God, help me right now. I'm telling you, I feel the fear of God so strong in this place. You better wake up. You don't know how close you are to falling, and God is calling. He's trying to wake you up right now. Amen. And so that man, Peter, Simon Peter, he found his way back. He found his way back and he received restoration. And he preached the message on the day of Pentecost. Amen. He preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He preached the message, but somewhere along the way, he got the message. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. If I could give a call to anybody tonight, it would be save yourself from this untoward generation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You got to save yourself. You've got to save yourself. Now, that don't mean you have the power of salvation within yourself. What he's saying is you better do what it takes to make sure that you make it all the way. He said later, he would say, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That don't mean you have your own salvation message. What it means is I may be able to do things that you can't do, and you may be able to do things that You better get sincere with God and say, I've got to be saved. Amen. Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary. You have an enemy. You have an enemy. Oh God. Oh God, help us. Maybe this is a terrible analogy. I don't know. I didn't think about it until right now. But it's like I've deer hunted where I watch the same deer walk underneath me over and over. And they'll say it's a small buck. There's times they'll pin you in the stand. They know you're there. But after you don't shoot them or shoot at them, they can walk out and look at you. And they know you're not going to do anything to them. So they'll just go about and eat or whatever. They don't know, like I know, if you keep living and you keep growing, one day you're going to walk out and I'm not just going to sit here and look at you. Amen. And I feel like that this eternal, because Satan is eternal, this eternal adversary, you get so close so many times and he don't snap. And you get to feeling like you can just play with whatever. Well, I've been here before and it's never got me, you know. I can always piddle and then come on back. Yeah, he's playing the long game on you. You have an adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion. And all he's doing is looking for somebody to destroy. Oh, God, help me to preach. Wake up, church. It's 2024. Wake up. You have an adversary. It's time for us to get it in our minds. We gotta, if we've ever needed to live for God with everything we've got, it's right now. The day of the Lord is closer than it's ever been. Wake up and live for God. Hallelujah. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Him resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. It's time for you to get up and get your resistance on. Resist him. How? You resist him in the faith. Amen. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What is he saying here? He's saying there's other people that are standing up to this junk, and you can stand up to it too. Amen. God help me right now. I know we're to a place where people get into vices and they get into things and they just think there's no hope and nobody's ever been through what they're going through and there's just no way out. The scripture says that you have not been tempted with anything that's strange or foreign. There's other people that have dealt with it. There's other people that have resisted it. There's other people that have broken the chains. There's other people that have got deliverance. There's other people that have made it to heaven. So get up tonight and resist steadfast in the faith. I don't care what it is that Satan's trying to use to destroy you. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time to get up and resist. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul would write, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to put on the armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because he's coming for you. He has an insatiable desire. Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our fight is not against mankind. It's against the children of hell that are trying to destroy what God is doing in the church. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil. I'm telling you, it's time for you to stand and to resist some things that you've been cowing and bowing to. Amen. And having done all to stand, when you've done everything you can to stand, stand. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to get over it. Stand. I heard a man today, he quoted from a book that was written about climbing Everest. And once you get over 9 kilometers on Mount Everest, it's called the death zone. And it's because at that altitude, your body is dying. It quits healing itself. It quits oxygenating. They use artificial or extra oxygen. But still, your body is dying at that level. And he said that you have to keep moving once you get to that point. And there are people that have died so many times in that zone. And the crazy thing is that they died while people are walking past them. Because the people that are walking understand, if I stop like they have stopped, I will die too. Amen. And so the story was written of a man who found a man. He was on his way down from Everest. And he found a man in the death zone. He was sitting down. He was dying. And the man told him, if you can stumble, I will walk with you. But if you sit down, I have to go on. Amen. Okay, here's the secret to living for God. You ready? You may be stumbling, but don't sit down. Keep stumbling. Keep walking. Keep moving. Amen. I want to preach some grit into you tonight. If you feel like you're against the ropes and the devil's been beating you silly, I've come to preach to you that you got the power to stand. You may need to repent. You may need to pray back through. But honey, get up and do it. God is still faithful. You can stand. You can make it. And so having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, it's still faith. When Jesus prayed for Peter, he didn't pray that he didn't fall. He said, I'm praying that your faith don't fail when you fall. Oh, God, help me right now. Amen. Amen. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. It's time to get up. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I find it amazing that Jesus prayed that his faith didn't fail. Not that he didn't pray that he didn't fall. Why? Because he knows you're human and you're gonna fall. And I'm preaching to people right now. You got it looking good in the suit and the tie, but you're on the ground right now. I'm preaching to you. Get back up. Get up one more time. Get up one more time. Get up one more time. Hallelujah. I refuse to be a casualty of my circumstances. I refuse to be a statistic of the trial that I'm walking through. Satan has an insatiable desire, but I pray that somebody would get. Hallelujah. I wish that somebody tonight would get a grit
that says, I will not quit. I will not quit. I will not quit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do you take the shield of faith? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When they start shooting at you, your faith is what puts out the fire. Remember, there are four things that they're never satisfied. And one of them is a fire that never wants to quit consuming. But he said, you get your faith about you. And when that fire that wants to consume you and destroy you, come, that faith will put that fire out. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Don't ever lose the emphasis on reading your Bible. You want to know where I got this message from? The Bible. You don't know what I was doing when I got it? Reading the Bible. Amen. You don't know where it really started to grow? Praying. Amen. Maybe this is just a little simple. I don't know. Elementary. But you know, it's really not that hard to live for God. It's really not. Amen. You can look at the pulpit and, well, I just don't know how they do it. I'll tell you how I do it. I pray, I fast, I read my Bible, I listen to my pastor. That's a big one. Amen. And then I draw lines in my life. It's not that hard to live for God. I had a man call me years ago, and he had gotten involved in something he shouldn't have got involved in, and he was messaging a lady he shouldn't have been messaging. He was a married man, and he's on the phone. He's just really beating himself up. I'm a terrible person. I'm this, I'm that. And I just asked him, I said, well, how did it start? You know, like, I'm just trying to get to the root. So, you know, like, how did you, your married man, how'd you end up texting another woman? You know, like where did it start? He said, well, you know, I friended her on Facebook. I said, okay, delete Facebook. Problem solved right there. If you're messaging her on Facebook, and it started with a friend request on Facebook, get off Facebook. These are the ABCs of living for God. It really is that simple. If you fall into sin, just take the path, the journey. How did I get here? If you listen to music you shouldn't listen to, like when you're driving down the road, it's like, what did I do to listen to this music? Well, I turned on the radio to this deal. Pull your radio out. I'm just telling you, it's really that simple. Amen. Well, I just don't have the power to pull my radio out. Pray till you got the power to pull your radio out. Well, I just can't live without Facebook. Pray until you can live without Facebook. Well, I just can't quit doing such and such. Amen. This is get you to heaven kind of preaching. Amen. You just figure out. Don't look at where you fail and try to fix where you fail. Fix the footsteps that got you to the place that you stumbled at. Like if you know, I would fall off of this. If I rolled my foot over it, I'm going to fall off the platform. If I fell off the platform, I don't need to look at this and be, well, I wonder why my foot slipped off of that. Because if I try to balance right here, I'm going to fall off every single time. So quit looking at this and wonder, I wonder why I fall every time I'm right there. If you fall every time you're right here, then stay back here. I'm telling you, church, it's really that simple. Amen. If you fall there, stay here. And don't stay one step away. Stay two or three or four steps away so that if you happen to slide one step over, you're not falling. You can bring yourself back. It's really that easy. Amen. You pray, you fast, you read your Bible, you submit to your pastor, and then just draw lines in your life. Amen. The Lord would tell Cain, he says, if thou doest well, will you not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. The word lieth there is like a feline, crouch like a lion. Crouching at the door, waiting to pounce. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you. If there was a lion, this is just me, and maybe this is elementary. But if there was a lion standing at my front door, I would probably put a few more doors between me and that front door. I mean, there's a chance he could get through the front door. Just draw lines. And this would be a really good place. And I didn't intend to preach any of this. I don't even know where I'm at. Maybe I'm done. I don't know. This is a really good place to talk about you being sensitive to personal conviction. Amen. Amen. If the only lines you have in your life are what you hear preached from this pulpit, you may be in trouble. Let's just be honest. I love my pastor. We have an amazing pastor. Amen. And the best preachers in Pentecost have stood behind this pulpit and preached to this congregation. But you know, the true biblical model for the child of God wasn't that 100% of what they knew about the Bible came from this pulpit. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might." And you got to follow his law. You got to talk about it. You got to write it on your doorpost. You need to talk about it when you're laying down, when you're rising up, when you're going out, when you're coming in, when you're in the field, when you're in the city. What is he saying? You're supposed to be immersed in the Word of God beyond the pulpit. You know, there need to be some conversations after prayer meeting between husbands and wives that say, you know, I was praying and I just kind of felt, you know, I know pastor preaches this and we hold this line, but maybe for our household, we should take it a little bit further. And maybe God will bless us. Maybe it'll be a safety net for us. Amen. Amen. Here's your solution. You ready? Luke 22 and 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Satan is after you. He's after me. He's after pastor. From the smallest child in this room to the eldest saint of God, Satan is after every single one of us. Satan has an insatiable desire. He don't care how many he gets. He always wants one more. Amen. And really, he really wants the ones that have the most potential. Like, he didn't, you know, there's some disciples you can't even name. I don't even know their names. They're in there. Some of the 12. He took Judas. He got number 12. He didn't want number 11. He wanted number one. He wanted Peter. Why? Because Peter was going to preach a message that would save people's souls. Peter was going to be a soul winner. He was going to be a prayer warrior. He was going to fast. And so you have to understand, if you're under attack by Satan, it's probably because you have potential. And so Jesus, he said, pray that ye enter not into temptation. But don't patty cake your prayer. For Jude tells us, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to pray until the Holy Ghost is flowing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you being built up in your faith also comes by praying in the Holy Ghost. Why don't we stand together? Amen. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Amen. There is a solution. There is a solution to the assault that hell has waged against you. And it is that, number one, you need to be praying. And not just, I'm talking praying until the Holy Ghost is praying. Romans 8 and 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Spirit is praying through us, for us. That's why praying in the Holy Ghost is important. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. Church, we have to wake up. Don't think you're a throwaway saint in the church. Don't think you're a throwaway soul or, well, I'm not preaching, so the devil, he ain't going to come after me. That's a lie. Hell and destruction, Satan, it's insatiable. It's never full. Never full. Its appetite never ceases. Hell hath enlarged herself. I preached all that to say this. I love every single one of you that are in this room and the ones that aren't in the room right now. Amen. And you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can get so caught up, because there is ebb and flow to revival. People come in, people go out. It's just the way that it happens. That's reality. But don't ever just be okay with somebody falling. Don't ever just be okay with somebody losing out. And surely don't ever think, well, Satan got them, so maybe he's not hungry anymore. No. He's probably going to come for you next. I wish to God there would be a spirit rise in every single soul in this house tonight that says, first and foremost, I will not quit. I will not quit. I'm talking about a determination that says, I may fall, but I will come back. God help us. That's the first. You got to make up your mind. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. Amen. I may need more mercy than the rest of them, but I'm going to do my best to go all the way. Amen. If they're going to throw me out of heaven, they're going to throw me out kicking and screaming. I'm going to fight my way all the way to the gates, and I'm going to try to fight my way into it. I'm going to go all the way. And I'll tell you what will happen when you get that determination in your spirit. You'll end up powerful enough that, like David, when that lion came and grabbed another lamb, you'll say, I didn't let you get me, and I'm not going to let you get them either. I wonder if we could gather around the front with our family. I wonder if we could come family by family. These are the people that are closest to us. They know the most about us. When we're weak, they know it. When we fall, they know it. When we're struggling, they know it. Come close, come close, come close. Amen. I wonder if you could just begin to pray right now a hedge of protection about your family, about your spirit, about your mind. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come on, church. We got to make it all the way. We got to make it all the way. We got to make it all the way. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I wonder if you could pray under a burden right now for your family. Come on, fathers, pray over your children. Husband, pray over your wife right now. Amen. Pray with a burden right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Pray. We got to make it all the way. We got to make it all the way. Oh, we got to make it all the way. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I wonder if you could pray until you feel strength begin to rise right now. Come on, you may need to make some commitments in this altar call. God, I'm drawing lines right here, and I'm drawing lines right there. Come on, you may need to tell your family, I know I've not done right here, but I'm going to draw this line, and I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I need you to hold up my hands. I'll hold up your hands. I need you to hold up my hands. Come on, we got to make it. Come on, pray for your family right now.